Stevie here. Thanks for checking out the audio format of the show. You're about to listen to composer, musician, and saxophonist Grace Kelly. My favorite part of her interview was talking about the competitiveness within the jazz world. Thanks for tuning in. Peace. Welcome back to another episode of the Stevie Weeby Show. Have a very special guest tonight. Please welcome for the first time composer, musician, and saxophonist Grace Kelly.
Hello.
That was cool.
Yeah,
I was feeling
that.
No, we were just kind of going with the flow. And that is, does your saxophone have a name?
Rosie.
So you did name it. Is that is that pretty common for a musician to name their instrument?
I've heard all sorts. I think it's pretty common, but I also know some people are just like, yeah, it's an instrument. But for me, it's like, it feels like a personal connection.
Yeah.
So I love hearing stories about like people's instruments.
Yeah. And then how long have you had Rosie?
Rosie?
Yeah.
I've had her for probably like 8 years.
8 years.
And then I have Mark set in his case.
Yes.
At home.
And is that, for a person who's aspiring to be a saxophonist like you, how do they know where to get like a decent saxophone? Can you go to Guitar Center or something?
You could. I always like recommend that people try out the horns because sometimes people buy like a horn off eBay and you don't know what state it's going to come in.
Is that a no-no?
Honestly, it's all over the map. Some people, it's been a great experience. Mm-hmm. Some, it could come broken.
Have you done that? Have you gotten an instrument through eBay?
I have not gotten an instrument through eBay. I've gotten like this one through usually going to the local music store and trying it out.
That one.
Yeah. Well, this is a Yamaha. I'm a Yamaha artist, so I went into their...
So what do you mean by you're a Yamaha, you're sponsored by Yamaha?
They're my endorsement family, yeah.
Okay, can we give them a shout out real quick? Okay,
Shout out to Yamaha.
I mean, that's a big deal, right? That's like being sponsored if you're a skateboarder and they endorse you and everything.
I guess so.
Did they reach out to you?
Initially...
Can you write Yamaha down, please?
There were some mutual musician mentors of mine that had introduced me to them and I was on their radar.
You
but
were?
But yeah, like Yamaha for life.
That's crazy.
I love them.
And what are some perks that come with being endorsed by Yamaha?
Well, they have some amazing technicians. Like
really?
They're Yamaha trained technicians who know how to just take care of these instruments. So I've been all around the world, and sometimes when the instrument's broken or it needs tune up before the show,
I know the guys that can fix it. What's the worst possible thing that could happen with the saxophone?
There's so many screws and like just a lot of pieces to the instrument, so it's very intricate. So if anything breaks, it makes it very hard to play. But probably the worst thing that could happen is like a rod falling off, you know, because it's just connected to so many
Yeah.
Other parts.
Now, what's the worst thing? Let's say, because I asked Jeremiah if I could play his saxophone, and he got pretty offended there.
Oh, did he? Just by well, he goes,
yeah. Why do you think that is? Because I love you, Jeremiah. Scissor Bros every Friday. What's your friend's name?
Leo.
Leo and Grace will be on Scissor Bros coming soon. It probably had already dropped by now.
Yeah, that was
okay.
Super fun.
Yeah, that was fun.
I'm curious to dig into why he was potentially offended.
I'm looking at what's the wooden part called?
There's a lot of stuff happening with the mouth. I will say that. I think the things that are touching the mouth.
Yeah.
The reed, that's called the reed.
Okay, so the reed. Part. Yeah, he didn't want my mouth on his reed.
Right, because if your mouth is on his reed,
that's like if we're like kissing. Or
yeah,
something.
And then
yeah.
He's gonna put his mouth on. So yeah, that's so a that, very.
So that's
part.
Why I mean, no, it was he wasn't he was rightfully so.
But that, you know what, you guys could try.
Yeah.
Is if he blows. And you go behind him, can finger.
Okay, so we're
wow,
both.
Wow, I didn't even plan
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I know. That was a good one. That was a good one.
You could finger his saxophone.
Yeah, I could finger the saxophone from behind. Yeah.
And you could do teamwork, yeah. You know?
No, if. Because I'm going back on the eBay thing is intriguing to me. Do you believe that? Because I'm superstitious. Do you think instruments could be haunted?
Whoa, I actually have never
like
really
some Annabelle or
so,
like
that.
Some Annabelle like on that tip, you know?
I mean, I think the energy
attached to it.
Yeah, so maybe you need to sage it out, you know, put some.
Oh, and there's a bunch of sage in here as we speak, yeah. So, because I've seen like documentaries, like ghost documentaries, where it's like someone at like a yard sale gets like a dresser or a table or desk or something, and there's energy like a. Kind of like a ghost or demonic energy attached to it where they start haunting the house.
Right.
Yeah, so that's not known for instruments.
I've never heard a story yet of a haunted instrument.
Yeah.
But it would be wild if it was like making its own sounds or...
Or moving on its own.
Maybe every time you go to play it, it just plays one melody.
Now, if Rosie started doing that, like moving at night or there were some witch sounds or it started doing weird things. What would you do? How would you handle that?
I'd be freaking very freaked out.
No, but would you sell it? You'd sell it on eBay, right?
If she was making noises by
herself?
Yeah,
let's just play this out because you know I love my... You know I love my scenarios. you know I love my hypotheticals.
Rosie's like moving.
Okay, so one night, where do you keep Rosie? Is it in your room or in a different room?
Rosie's in the music room. So different room than I see.
But is it close in proximity to your room?
There's a door in between.
There's a door in between. Okay, so it's 3 in the morning. It's 3:33 a.m. 3:33.
Wow, okay.
And you're sleeping, but then corner of your ear, you just like from a distance you hear this. Wait, close your eyes real quick. And then it starts moving, and then doors start like slamming, like The Exorcist.
Oh my! Is it like flying in the air?
No, it's just it that sound, the witch sound, is coming from what's the opening? Just
the bell of
the saxophone. You hear a witch's like laughter.
Oh my god!
How would you handle that?
Freaking.
Yeah.
I think I'd either run.
Would you record
or
it?
I'd grab a bat.
But would you document it?
Oh, see, that's a smart thing to do.
You would document it, right?
I feel like that'd be a true TikTok moment. Yeah. Like,
oh, that's a viral video.
That's a viral video.
That's a viral video for sure.
Cannot give up on those.
Do you have sage at home?
I have sage at home.
So would
yes.
you would you do your own kind of exorcism?
Oh, like before just getting rid of it?
Yeah, because if it's... Okay, so what would you do? How would you get up? How would you approach Rosie?
Okay, so how fast is Rosie moving?
It's just... Okay, this is Rosie. Let's say this is Rosie. It's basically... It's subtle, okay? It's literally...
But... Wow. Okay, but the sound is going.
It sounds this. Very subtle, but it's noticeable.
Yeah. I'm breaking out the sage, baby.
You are.
I'm breaking out the sage.
You don't call the police or ghost hunters, or how does that work?
Oh, ghost. Do you
know a priest or like? Oh, do you don't call a friend or?
Oh no, we skip some steps. I would definitely call the friend.
So who would you call first? Your mom?
I think I'd call one of my best friends in LA because they need. It's something they need to come over to
immediately.
See. But as soon as they'll come over, it's gonna stop.
That's what I'm saying. Let's play that out. So you call your friend, right? I'll be over in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
I'm there. And then it just stops. And then you know what? You could force your friend to sleep over.
Right.
Because, you know,
it might happen again.
The demon entity might trick you.
Right.
And then finally, like, 2 hours goes by, and then it starts up again. And your friend witnesses it, too. What do you both do?
Okay, well, we definitely got to film it.
So you're filming it.
We got to film it.
Then at that morning, the morning comes, okay? You guys probably need coffee at this point.
Oh, a lot.
And a lot of coffee. Starbucks on you. You're like, thanks for coming over. You're appreciative that your friend has your back like that. Then who do you call? Because you need to sage it first, right? Then you have to.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like ghosts. What's the number for the ghost guys?
We'll just say 1-800-GHOSTBUSTERS.
1-800-GHOSTBUSTERS.
Yeah.
I think they need to come over. Because, I mean, I feel like I wouldn't want to call the police.
No,
they're not going to believe me. Like,
because it's a paranormal incident, right?
Yeah.
How about when it comes to the point where you have to get rid of Rosie? Like, how do you get rid of Rosie?
I think... my gut reaction was going to be to bury her in the in the ground, but then I'm worried that she might come
back.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
That's
so, but that's a good, that's pretty wise to bury it.
You know, like respectful.
It's a respectful burial.
Yeah, but.
You wouldn't sell it?
And just hand it off to someone else.
I mean,
because
how much is, that's not a cheap.
That's true.
How much does that go for, if you don't mind me asking?
Without
the endorsement, without the Yamaha deal.
I mean, it's a minimum of $5,000 for these horns.
So you're going to have to at least try to get $3,000 back or $3,500 back.
And sell her. I mean, that would be smart.
Now,
I don't know why I thought I'd just like grab a baseball bat and
now,
destroy it.
Now, my next question is this. Okay, let's play that out.
Yeah.
Would you give a disclaimer to the buyer, to the person that buys it? Because, you know, like these haunted houses, if you move into a unit or a house, they have to kind of tell you about the history, if there was a haunting or someone died in the house. So they have to be very, open about that.
Right.
Yeah.
I definitely would put in a note that she is very quirky. And has a...
I think you would have to add a couple more...
Yeah, a couple more adjectives.
Adjectives, yeah.
She's got
as far
a mind
as the disclosure,
of her own. She's got...
You wouldn't say it's possibly haunted.
I think I would add that.
Yeah.
I would add it.
Have you dealt with any, like, sleep paralysis or kind of, like, hauntings or anything?
I've never. Have you?
Well, you know, our roots... From Korea, there's a lot. My mom has told me frightening Korea, like it from Korea.
Oh my God.
The motherland.
Yeah.
Crazy ghost stories. Like, you know, like back then, this is back during the Korean War, but she said her house, they had to walk to an outhouse.
Okay.
To go to the bathroom. And back in those days, it was just a hole.
Right.
In the ground, in a shed or something.
Okay.
And there were stories of, like, people falling in there. And it's kind of like that movie, The Ring, where there's, like, tales of, like,
oh
a woman down
God.
There with black hair.
Oh
and, like that movie, The Ring or something. So.
Nah.
Yeah.
I would just be holding my pee.
So you would hold your pee, or maybe pee in a pot or something?
Maybe you're just find a tree.
Yeah. Have you, so are your parents from... A soul?
Yes. Parents are from Seoul.
And when's the last time you have been to Korea?
The last time I went, I actually played a jazz festival out there.
In Korea?
Yeah, the Jadasam Jazz Festival.
Okay.
That was 4 or 5 years ago, before pre-COVID.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which was,
and it was in an amphitheater, the whole...
It was in a, it's a, it was an outdoor stage.
Uh-huh.
And... People,
how many players on
in my band? There's four of us.
There's four.
And then people were like, the audience was like, they brought their tents. People were there, camping for the weekend.
Mm-hmm. So it was like a festival, like a jazz festival.
It was a makgeolli and jazz festival.
Yeah, and how many other performers were there?
There was a handful. I think there was like probably maybe not more than a dozen. Like 12 or less.
12 or less.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, did you, so how long were you out there and were you into the, are you like into the culture, like the food and everything?
I love the food. The thing I loved about being there was like, I could walk into any restaurant. Like I didn't need to use Yelp. It's just, you take a right and you're just in some, you know.
And it's affordable.
Homemade.
Yeah.
You know.
Like oxtail soup. Yeah, or kimchi jjigae, yeah, or something.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You can tell the love.
And then, because I can't speak well.
I can't either.
So what is it about us? Like, where did we go wrong? Because
failures.
I'm just saying other Koreans look down upon that.
Honestly?
For me, they too.
And it was really, I felt like that was the most uncomfortable thing.
Because they talk to you,
because
they're probably, oh, hey, 안녕하세요, 잘 있으세요, and then they're trying to talk to you.
Yep.
And do you understand it?
I don't.
But you did as a kid, I'm guessing.
My mom didn't speak because my stepfather, who raised me since I was two, is American. So she stopped speaking.
She's a white lady?
He is.
He's a white guy?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
She stopped speaking. But my sister, who's 5 years older, she understands.
She understands.
But my mom stopped speaking Korean when I was in the house. So I really I studied a little bit of Mandarin growing up, so that's actually more familiar to me than...
Well, you understand Mandarin more than Korean.
Yeah, which it's at a very, very basic level.
There's a lot of history with China and Korea. Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember being out there as kids. Me and my brother were at the local store, and I remember that the lady that worked there in Korean said, "You should be ashamed that your kids don't even know the language."
Oh my gosh.
And my brother actually got mugged.
Oh.
By a gangbae. That's like a street guy, like a hoodlum kid.
Oh.
My brother had a calculator watch. And back then that was pretty high tech. And the kid in Korean said, "Hey, let me see your watch."
Was it that on the same day?
I don't remember. It was so long ago. I just remember he was crying, and it's just the Koreans out there could tell, at least then they knew we were like from America.
Yeah.
Now, did that happen to you when you're out there recently?
Yeah, they knew. I mean, it was very apparent when I wasn't able to speak.
But they try to speak to you.
Yeah, and it's definitely, I mean, I feel like you could just see it.
Just drain out of them.
Take over their face. I'm like, oh, no.
Right.
You know.
Koreans can be judgmental, huh?
Like, I think so. Like,
big time.
And I feel like the language can sound very whiny too. Yeah, Have you ever noticed that? So you add those two things together.
Yeah. Now, do you have an interest? I mean, my mom still says you could still learn, even though I'm almost 50.
She's never too late.
She still hasn't given up on me. But I noticed too, I know other Koreans, they won't say it, but, when I try to speak, they go, "Dude, that's the worst Korean enunciation I've ever heard, dude. Wow." It's like, out of all my Korean friends, they're like, "Dude, you should not try to speak that, bro."
They're like, "Don't even."
Yeah, so it kind of discourages me, but I want to, do you have a wanting to learn?
I do, and every time I'm there, or I'm, with Korean friends, it makes me feel like, oh, it would be cool to learn.
Yeah.
It feels like a pretty complex language.
Yeah, it is and it isn't.
The alphabet.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the alphabet first. But even when Because there's different dialects as well. There's a country dialect. There's ones from the city. And,
right.
But what I can only understand mostly when my mom speaks to me. But outside of that, like, let's say I'm eating, like, if we all went to, you know, Korean barbecue after this or something, and I tried to talk to the waiter, like, he would look at me. He would go right back to English. He'd go, no, we're, you know?
Yeah.
And that kind of, like, discourages me again, because I'm like, I'm trying. And
right.
I'm but they're not.
And they won't even take part.
They won't.
They will not.
They're like, nah, dude.
They're like, give up now.
Yeah.
Which is like.
What is that? What is that?
What is that?
It's the. There, it's a pride, and I don't know. It makes me kind of frustrated.
Because then you don't even get your trial run, you know.
No,
you don't get your
and they don't want to give you a chance.
No.
Yeah. So, other than that, like, do you think you'd be able to live out there? I mean, I'm sure if you lived out there.
I feel like if I lived out there, I would start to pick up.
For sure.
Yeah, I feel like that's the best way
to
learn
move,
a language is
to go to
the culture.
It's just, the land.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I remember when my sister went to China when she was in high school for like exchange program.
Mm-hmm.
She picked it up so fast.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it'd be interesting to live out there. I mean, I was so fascinated with just like how I feel like it might be a pretty easy
transition.
Yeah, because it feels so felt so Western in some ways.
Yeah,
like
technology
and
Well, they've come up as far as technology wise in the last at least the last decade, because even the car industry, because back in the day even Hyundai's were kind of considered a little like not dependable.
Right.
But now, like, I heard they're just as good as Toyota and Honda and stuff.
And Korea has, like, such fast Wi-Fi. You, like, go into
airport. Do they?
I think so. I think it's, like...
Yeah.
Pride themselves on...
Yeah. And then, the movie industry, even the Korean movies. Are you into Korean
drama?
Are you into that?
I've seen some. I have to say, I haven't, like, followed one show. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's always me kind of watching clips.
Yeah.
Of the K-drama, and I can't stop watching.
Are you a Steven Yeun fan? Steven Yeun from The Walking Dead, and he's into it.
Yeah.
He's Korean.
Oh, yeah.
He's kind of like our Leonardo DiCaprio.
Okay, yeah.
Are you a fan of his?
I don't know his work super well.
He was in, what movies has he been? Nope, Minari, Okja, Walking Dead. Yeah. So he's pretty up there.
Were there any Koreans in Everything Everywhere All at Once?
Yeah,
did I just
butcher
that title?
No, that's the guy Data from the Goonies, Ki Kwan.
Okay.
And he just won a nomination. So shout out to Ki Kwan. I just bought Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom again because I grew up with that movie. And he used Short Round. Remember?
You
call him Dr. Jones, doll, you know? I'm sorry. But I'm sorry. We could edit that out. So anyway, Koreans have come up in the last couple years.
Yeah.
As far as your musical background, like, so you're from the East?
I'm from the East Coast outside Boston.
How did you get into, like, music and everything?
I had kind of an unusual, adventure thus far in the music world. I actually started professionally when I was 12. And
12?
Yeah. And I made my first record when I was 12. And then I started traveling to play my first jazz festival when I was 13.
So you were a prodigy then, I mean, because that's a young...
Yeah,
right?
You could say.
So that's in middle school?
Yeah, I was basically an eighth grader. I remember the first time I got an invitation to leave the country and go perform in Norway. It was my first time out of the country.
Yeah. Was that my phone? Okay. That's scary. That's not you? Because my phone has never... did a sound like that.
Sounded like a nice lullaby. Maybe it's a ghost.
Well, yeah, don't say it, because there might be a ghost in here right now. I don't want to encourage the ghost in here. You could just set it down again. Yeah. But did you hear that?
Note?
Yeah.
Ding. Ding. I did hear it.
It's the stigmata witch. Yeah, I just recently got attacked by a witch in here. I talked about it last week, and she scratched me 3 different times on my thigh, And she was holding me down my bed. And
oh my gosh.
I'm sorry. Yeah, we'll get back to your musical.
Oh, no. I mean, that's... But, are you okay?
Yeah, I'm okay. That's why I maybe... You know what? I didn't light Palo Santo today. So maybe afterwards I'll light Palo Santo too. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, can I tell you another story? One time I was rearranging the corner of that room and I had this upright kind of stilt tripod thing, and it was one of the ones you could break down in different pieces. Okay. And it was on the ground, but then I like was doing something up there and I looked and it was like sitting up again, and I'm like, and I was like, it really scared me. And it was like in the corner, sitting up in the corner of that where that light is, like, and I'm like, I know it wasn't there, you know.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
So do you have a regular ritual with the sage?
Yeah, well, I do it mainly before bedtime.
Okay.
And I, to be honest with you, sense. I can't sleep in a complete dark room.
Okay.
There needs to be, I have these LED green lights that I need on.
Yeah.
And those Christmas lights are always on by the fridge.
Oh.
I can't sleep with a complete... Yeah, I can't sleep in darkness. Like, yeah. Complete darkness.
Yeah.
Not even if it was a night light. I need a little bit of...
Okay.
Illumination or yeah. So yeah, but this is going back to, you know, me and my... we were raised in a haunted house. Our house was legit haunted growing up in San Diego. Like, it was most likely built on a burial Indian burial ground or something. Yeah, so so I have a history of like sleep paralysis. It hasn't happened in a while, but I didn't mean to scare you. I'm sure you're fine and we're okay, guys, you know. Okay. We're okay, guys, right? Okay.
Yeah. We don't mean to upset any type of...
Yeah. I don't have a Ouija... Thank God I have no Ouija board in here. I would never play it. just that looks says a lot. It was just a gradual progression when you picked up the instrument. You're just doing your thing?
It was one of those things that as soon as I've always loved the sound of the saxophone. And then as soon as I started playing it, which took a second because I was playing clarinet in school and I really hated that.
When you started in elementary school?
Yeah.
Okay.
But when I played the sax, I was like, this is the sound that I've been hearing in my head. Like, I became so obsessed with it.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't put it down, be practicing for hours and...
So you really liked it a lot.
I really liked it, which was different than previously, like, practicing piano where, like, my mother would just...
Well, I know how that could be.
You know how that could be?
Yeah, she was strict.
Yeah. So that felt like, at times, just very tough to want to practice piano. But it's amazing what, like, a different instrument
could do to you, your spirit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, so did you choose that instrument or was it suggested to you?
I chose it.
You chose
it. Yeah. I mean, I heard the sound of the saxophone from a young age.
From where? Do you remember the memory of it?
Well, my parents did play a lot of jazz records around the house. So like Girl from Ipanema.
Oh, yeah.
Stan Getz did a record.
Yeah.
And that was playing Sunday brunch music. Like,
I have that
repeat.
Record actually somewhere here.
It's a great record.
Yeah, it's really calming.
To me, like, as soon as I hear
Yeah.
As soon as I hear that, I'm just like, I settle in, you know, just feel very...
It's a damn good record, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
And his sound on the sax is like...
It's so
beautiful.
It's very controlled too. It's not like he's kind of keeping... Yeah.
So I feel like from that moment, I was like, I just felt a connection with the sax.
Yeah. So you were raised around records being played or music.
Yeah.
Was your mom or dad into... Who was more into the music?
My mom was pretty into music, but had a very limited...
Palette?
Yeah, and a limited jazz collection. Like, she would only play Stan Getz. He was the only saxophonist she played.
So no Coltrane?
No Coltrane. Like, I didn't know any of those guys until I started sax.
When did you discover the other musicians?
After I actually started the instrument.
And then you start digging yourself?
You start digging, and also my teacher was like, you've got to check out, you know... Charlie Parker and Coltrane, gave me like a giant list.
Yeah.
But I hadn't heard any of those records because I really actually grew up on like Broadway.
Oh, recordings. Right,
a
right.
Huge Broadway fan.
Yeah. Jazz is more free form, right? It's more improv and it's, right?
That's honestly like why just I love free, it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like whatever you want to. What do you want to do? And yeah. when you're with people too, it's just you can just jam and create something yeah. together.
Did you have an instructor? Did you join the band?
I did. Or? I had some really great teachers, mm-hmm. Private teachers, and then I was at the New England Conservatory Prep School.
Oh wow, that sounds pretty prestigious. Yeah,
it's a great school. And then I went to Berklee College of Music.
Oh, Northern California?
In Boston.
Oh, in Boston. Okay, yeah. There's a Berklee there too.
Yeah, the music school.
And Boston's known. They had a music scene as well. Like I know the Pixies are from there.
Yeah.
And like there's music from there.
There's a pretty deep root in Boston, and even today too, with like you have Berklee, New England Conservatory. Mm-hmm. Boston Conservatory, there's just a lot of music mm-hmm. energy.
Yeah.
And for me, growing up in Boston, there were also opportunities to like go play at jam sessions. And my teacher would be, you know.
He'd be
like, hey, I'm going to go play this, you know, come sit in during my.
During a session?
Session.
At like a jazz club or something?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like the movie Whiplash when at the end. Have you seen that movie?
I have. Yeah. Yeah.
Is that pretty accurate? Whether you have instructors that kind of mean?
Never had anything thrown.
Because that guy was pretty intense in that movie. You know the way.
Yeah, I feel like you know. I can't say I know many people that had teachers that you know threw anything at them, but their fingers were bleeding. I feel like that might have been the part of the movie that I was like, okay, this might be stretched.
Even as far as motivation is concerned, like the way he motivated his students was fear-based.
I mean, I've heard of some. I have never had a teacher who was just outright, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mean.
Mean in that way.
Right.
I have heard of some friends of mine who's had really negative experiences in
school.
Wait,
as far as like the instructor being too critical or?
Or just having their own agenda and not wanting to teach like
certain
what the student wants to
learn
or just has, yeah, like a very rigid way of doing something, which to me, like my teachers and when I think of a great teacher, it's like, how do they support each student?
Yeah. Individually.
Yeah.
Yeah. Same thing with like a wrestling coach, like not every, cause I'm trying to relate to wrestling cause I wrestled in junior high, high school. And it's kind of like every wrestler or athlete has a different body type and different style of what they might be good at. Not everyone's going to do a headlock or something.
Right.
Another person might want to do like more like low ankle attacks or something,
Something. And there's so many ways to get into music. You know, mm-hmm. there's so many different styles. There's so many different songs. So I remember I had one teacher, actually not saxophone teacher, but a guitar teacher. And it's like, I remember the girls in the class. Everyone had a song they wanted to learn, whether it was like a Corinne Bailey Rae song or a Beatles song.
Yeah.
But he was pretty adamant of just wanting to go through the songs that he picked. For us. Which is, you know, it's fine that people, I think teachers have their curriculum, their agenda. But we were learning very basic chords, and I feel like it would be really fun for someone to learn the song that they want to learn.
Right. And I have another scenario for you thought of. Like, I like getting movies on iTunes. And one of the movies that kind of just popped in my head was the movie Mean Girls.
Oh, yeah.
So does like when it has to do with something like that, was there as far as competitiveness, cutthroat stuff, were there maybe people like that were kind of like mean girls where they kind of try to sabotage you or like there was a competitive nature where they took it a step too far?
There's been some competitive feeling.
Like another, was there another Asian? What if there's another Asian woman?
It's funny. Like one of my best friends at school, Berklee, was another Korean American saxophonist.
And then, like, she tried to copy your hairstyle and she got your sax. She's like, I got the same one as you. Like, if she had enough, like, you know how yours is specifically looks that way?
I, like, put a jewel on mine. And then she did that. Two jewels.
Does that exist in that world?
Oh, God, it's funny. We were the opposite. We actually became
friends.
We were allies. We became friends. But that's not so funny.
I'm not looking for that.
Yeah.
I'm looking for the Mean Girls thing.
Gosh, there was no, I can't think of a time where it was like, I put a jewel on my sax and then she put two jewels on hers.
Well, not even about that. Cause I know that's kind of like exterior stuff. Yeah. Like I'm talking about like they want to outshine you.
Oh, I had that.
You did.
With another girl at one point.
All right, let's talk about it.
Yeah. Okay. And, but you know, it's
when
kind
did this
of,
happen?
It's
when
kind
did it
of
happen?
A subtle thing too, because
wait, is it a lot of like Jedi like psychology, like
yeah, like when we were face to face, we wouldn't say.
Oh, so it
we
was
wouldn't say competitive things.
She would compliment you, maybe.
But I heard. Oh, now I just feel like I'm gossiping. But at one
no,
point,
we're not going to say any names.
Yeah,
yeah,
right.
Yeah. I just want to know the scenario.
At one point, I had heard that she was saying certain negative things about me.
But you're playing?
Yeah, but like,
well, what negative thing could you say about someone playing a saxophone? Like,
or I'm trying to. Maybe she was just saying that she was better. I can't remember if it was just specific things of what I was bad at, or if she was just saying she deserves more of the opportunities or is better.
Can we do a little scenario real quick? Yeah. Okay, this is what I want to do. We're in the practice room, okay? And this, I'm the competitive one.
Okay.
And she doesn't know you're listening in, okay? And I'm,
oh,
for some, yeah, you're in the room, okay? And she's telling, okay, so I'm the competitive one. I'm the mean girl, okay? And then you overhear this, okay? Oh my God, when Grace plays, she looks like a blowfish when she does her thing, man. And like, I can't stand her. How do you deal with that?
Like,
you're not supposed to hear that, but right. She said you look like, you know, she says something like that. Would you approach her or would you let it go?
I would let it go, but it's going to, I think there's a strategic way.
Okay, then tell me the strategic way on how you cope with that. That's a direct insult.
Yeah, it's a direct insult.
I can't stand it when she plays that song. I'm going to beat her out. Don't worry about it. Okay, a little bit. How about this? I'm gonna throw another curveball at you. There is a tryout, kind of like someone trying out for the varsity team. There is a tryout.
It's on
like Tron. It's on like Tron.
All right. It's on like Tron.
And so, you hear her say that the blowfish remark, and I'm gonna beat her ass. She doesn't stand a chance. How do you deal with that?
Well,
this is to make the tour or whatever, like for the to get onto the band. Yeah. Okay, how do you deal with that?
I'm gonna ace that audition.
Good.
First of all,
but I want to know how. How do you deal with these obstacles?
I think that, you know, after hearing, maybe catching her after she played.
So you wouldn't approach?
Not in the moment. I wouldn't do that.
So you wouldn't tap her on her shoulder and go, "What did you say?"
I wouldn't do that in that moment.
In that moment. So that's wise, because you don't want to cause conflict in the space.
It was just what wasn't my intuitive thing that I would go to.
You would note it?
I would note it.
Then what?
And then I think at some point when she was playing, like after the fact, you know, go up to her and be like, yeah, you know, it's your face looked a bit reminiscent of a bloated toad, you know what?
Oh, good one. Hey, dude, good
you
one.
Know, like,
you would say that to her?
Because the thing is,
her name's Diane.
Diane, that would just.
Her name's Diane.
I feel like her face would be.
So you'd call her.
So good.
You would do the toad line. You'd call her, because a blowfish to a toad, so.
A constipated toad.
A constipated, so you added another thing to it.
Like, let's
so,
add.
So she's just said blowfish, said you would say, okay, let's say I'm Diane now.
Hi, Diane.
Hi. Good Gedrane.
I think you might want to work on your facial expression. You looked a bit like you look like a constipated toad.
Oh my god. Did you just call me?
How would I, you know,
toad?
How would the blowfish possibly know about the constipated toad?
I'm gonna beat you out of this competition.
Oh, are you?
Yeah, watch your back.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Well, watch. There's some.
Yeah.
Blowfish waiting to.
Really?
Blow.
We're gonna do this now. We're gonna do this right here now.
Right now.
Okay, so I'm gonna do another scenario. Okay, so before you just killed your audition.
Yeah.
It's her turn now.
Okay.
She gets so nervous, she has to go. She's getting diarrhea.
Oh my gosh.
So she runs to the bathroom, but then you noticed her instrument is sitting up.
Oh my god.
Right here. No one's monitoring it. Okay.
I want to know where this is going.
You have a thing of Mountain Dew. Or you have something you could do to
cut.
I'm just saying, she drew first blood, okay?
Yes.
So her instrument is sitting right there.
And I have a Mountain Dew.
She ran. She's way out there.
She's got diarrhea problems.
The music hall. She's down the hallway. She'll at least be gone for 10 minutes.
Okay.
Because she's so nervous.
Right.
Because she wants to do so well.
And no. And.
What do you leave her instrument alone?
And I have a Mountain Dew.
What you throw another one in there?
Oh, like another thing that I could have?
Yeah, another thing. Yeah, you get to choose. Okay, so Mountain Dew, choose two other items that
All right. I think a cotton ball.
Why a cotton ball? wait, that's interesting. That's interesting. Why a cotton ball?
Because if you put a cotton ball the mouthpiece.
Oh no.
It will literally stop.
So she would look like a blowfish.
She literally would go to blow.
Yeah.
And it will feel like she'll have to blow really hard because it will be, no sound will come out either.
Okay.
And then it's very awkward because then in the audition, she'd have to be like, I don't know. And you can't see it.
How fast could you insert a cotton ball into, I don't know the names of the different parts.
Pretty fast.
Okay, so what part?
I mean, you would take off the ligature, take off the reed. And then
okay, so she's in the bathroom.
Ball.
Yeah. And then you would remove that and insert the cotton ball.
Yeah, exactly. You remove this, and then you put the cotton ball just in it.
Okay, so that's the worst thing that could happen.
Well,
what about if you have a stick of gum? Like you have a stick of gum. Would that be a good substitute?
The gum wouldn't really stop the sound.
Oh, a cotton ball will.
A cotton ball, I mean, it would mute it. So she'd go to play. And
it'd be the moment of truth.
It would just be a really weird, awkward sound.
Okay, what's the next item if you couldn't get the cotton ball? I'm just,
So there's a cotton ball. There's
Mountain Dew, cotton ball.
I mean,
what's the third one?
I feel like this is probably on people's mind, and it maybe is very, obvious, but,
Hot sauce?
Hot sauce or a jalapeno.
Habanero!
Habanero on the...
On the...
And she's gonna look a lot different than just a blowfish. Let me tell you. Oh, she'll go. She'll play.
Okay.
And just the shock and the feeling.
Okay.
And then what does she do in her audition? Does she keep it together? Does she start crying?
Okay, I'm gonna give you both. I'm gonna give you
burning.
Both. I'm gonna give you both.
Keep burning.
You happen to have habanero sauce in your back pocket, and you happen to have the cotton ball. Okay. And you happen to insert it. Perfectly. The timing's perfect. You have enough time where you could do this. No one's looking. She's going to go on with her audition.
Okay. I'm going to watch.
Okay. You're going to watch.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah. I'm gonna,
this is,
I mean, discreetly.
Okay.
I can't be like,
why
are you here?
She blows it, right? She's suffering on stage. She's blowing. Her face is getting red. And she's at this point, she's crying. And she's crying. Okay. And
so
afterwards,
I'm gonna
get into Diane's character.
Okay.
How do you, and then you're going to have to comfort me. Because now at this point, you're kind of reevaluating, I feel kind of bad. So, okay. Just give me a second. Hold up. Let me put in this tea.
Oh my god.
Good job.
We couldn't play.
There's something wrong with my sax.
There was something wrong with the sax. Maybe you should have gotten it checked out at the store.
Did you do something?
Why would you think it was me?
You were standing right next to it. You were standing right next to it when I went to the bathroom.
Well, what was wrong? Maybe you're nervous. Are you nervous?
Can you do something to my saxophone?
It may have been nerves. Sometimes when I'm nervous, you know, it's tough. It's tough.
How can you do this to me?
Honestly, the blowfish thing.
I'm sorry too.
Oh my God, that was so hard for me.
Why?
Breaks my heart. Also, I don't know how she would play saxophone with those teeth.
Yeah. Now, something like that, is that far-fetched? Nothing like that's happened in your world.
Oh my gosh. Well,
I want to know, like, it interests me. Yeah? Yeah. It's like a movie.
Yeah. I've never had it done to me.
Yeah.
I've never done it to someone else. Like, that's pretty extreme. Okay, let me go mess with someone.
Let me switch it on you. What if someone that did that to you?
Oh my gosh. Like, they...
Yeah, they did that. They messed up your issue, and this is to go to do a tour.
Yeah.
How would you deal with that? Maybe it's time to tell the instructor, like, that you feel like there's someone did something to your to Rosie.
Right.
Yeah.
I'd be livid.
You would.
I'd be livid. It'd be like.
Okay, so can we do a little role reversal? I'm gonna get back into Diane. Okay, so I'm Diane, and then someone, you blew it. Like, someone put a cotton ball in your thing,
okay.
And then it's hot sauce on your mouth. Okay.
Diane?
Yeah?
What was that?
What do you mean?
You messed with my saxophone.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you...
No, I didn't.
Why am I finding this?
Brittany did
in
that.
My sa- Brittany's...
See, I know,
you've been here the whole time.
I know, but... I'm sorry, you just probably need to practice.
And I left, and I came back. You're the only one who knows where you could put a cotton ball to stop the sound.
Look.
For the sax.
You blew it.
What's that in your pocket?
Nothing.
Is that hot
nothing.
Sauce? Why would you...
Mr. Davis! Mr. Davis!
Is that cotton balls?
No!
Oh, you just carry cotton balls.
You're not going to pin this on me.
Oh, well, you know what? I think we need a do-over.
Okay, good job. So you would confront it like that. You would confront
you know,
it like that.
No, cotton balls are just falling out
yeah.
of her.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry. I love these scenarios.
Oh, my God.
So as far as that type of competitiveness.
I don't think I'd actually approach it like that.
No, you wouldn't.
I think it'd be
you
really.
You do behind the scenes, I think.
It'd be very tough for me, to
you'd,
be honest.
Behind the scenes.
Be tough, yeah.
You'd have to be kind of political about it.
I think I would like to be able to potentially act like that. Because
that could alter your trajectory as far as success, wouldn't you say? If it's like a, you know what I'm saying? It's like if someone trying out for American Idol, and then, you know, let's say we're like, I'm going to try to sing the same song as this person.
Right.
And I notice he goes to the bathroom and I pour something in his drink to mess up his voice or something.
Yeah.
That would alter his audition.
Yes. That's so
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's why I'm asking, because I know that, you know, dude, even in wrestling, there's, you know, there's weird psychological things you could do to have an edge on your opponent.
And you get to say that to someone before.
Yeah, like you're in the tunnel and then you could say, you could try to get into the guy's head. Like, let's say you're about to wrestle a guy. You could do a couple things, you know, to kind of get in his head.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah.
Has that ever happened to you?
Yeah. Well, during quarterfinals, it was like five counties where this guy, it wasn't more like what he said, but his mannerisms, like he was chewing this wintergreen gum and it was blue. And he said something to me to get in my head. I forgot what it was, the context, but he said something. And then as if, it was really odd. And then it kind of got, I mean, I ended up winning, yeah, you know, but I remember he wrestled for a prestigious kind of wrestling, Clovis up north. And I remember I did beat him, but he was doing some weird things to kind of like, it kind of, cause normally, cause it's so nerve wracking.
Yeah.
Cause it's one-on-one. It's like either me or him, right, and we're about to go into combat. And right, so normally no one says anything. They're just like warming up or something. But he, something happened where he did say something to me and it kind of got in my head.
And then were you able to really just...
I had to block it out. Yeah. I had to block it out because I'm like, fuck. It's like literally in the tunnel. It's like, you know, it's like you're paired up with the guy you're about to wrestle. And it's like we're the third ones about to go out to mat 8 or something. Like, you know, and then you're about to go into it, yeah, the match.
Yeah.
So it was like he said it. The timing was weird because he knew he had enough time to kind of
have it. Yeah, to kind of.
Yeah, just kind of throw like a low blow at me, yeah, or something.
Like
you know,
enough time for him
to question like my stuff. Like yes, yeah, or something.
It's like when someone's like, "Are you gonna wear that?" And it's like, "What does
that
mean?"
I think he questioned my ranking, maybe like why are you ranked? Like you're ranked this, or you know, because I had a high ranking or something. Yeah. Or I don't know. He did, but I just remember like, what does he mean by that? And I was in my head about it.
Yeah.
And then by that time, I'm about ready on deck, ready to run to my mat. But it had an adverse effect. It kind of like, oh, this month, oh yeah, ooh, it's on now.
Yeah.
You know, so it had an adverse effect. Rather, depending on your personality, it could have the effect where
you're like, oh, I see what you're trying to do.
Because you could see how it could work to his advantage. Because like next thing you know, I'm already on the mat, but I'm thinking, I'm not in the moment, and I'm thinking about what he said to me in the tunnel, and now he's like body slamming me on the mat.
Competitive advantage.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, he had an edge. He has a psychological edge. So I'm asking you, are there psychological things that people have done in that world?
I don't have any like distinct memories of something that someone had said or done that really threw me off. I mean, I did have, there was like a very cutthroat thing once that it was very like, I was jamming with people. I was in high school at the time and I was really struggling with keeping up with the tempo of that song.
Yeah.
And then they just kept making it faster and faster and faster and
intentionally?
I think so.
Who's they, the rest of the group?
That was the band.
Collectively.
Like the rest of the rhythm section. And that's kind of like a silent
diss.
Yeah. Because then it's like, okay, now I got to bow out because I just can't.
It's almost keep like. Up.
But then after, I really worked to be like, I'm going to be able to go that fast.
And can you do this? If that were to happen to me, and tell me if this is acceptable or not. If they did that to me, can I go, oh, stop. What are you guys doing?
You
stop. Could. Are you guys purposely doing that to mess me up? Can you do that?
Is that my voice?
Oh, no, I'm not me. I'm the guy. Yeah, and that's not you.
Oh.
I would do that.
Okay.
Like, what are you guys doing? Like, you guys messing me up, dude?
You could do that.
So, but you didn't do that, dude.
I didn't do that.
Then what did you do?
I played the rest of my.
And then you're trying
solo.
To speed it up.
Yeah, and then I just stopped.
That's similar to like, let's say everyone's getting like going to the beach and they have their swimsuits on. And you're still getting your suntan lotion, and they're already like leaving, and you're like,
yeah,
"Hey, wait up! I don't have."
It doesn't,
and they're like,
yeah.
"No! Catch up!
Exactly.
Catch up!"
Feel like,
and you're like, "Hey, dude!" Like,
it does not feel like a team.
No,
at that point, you're just like, feel like you're trying to stay afloat.
This is going back to whiplashing. They've done that. They did that. Kind of did that to him, the instructor, where
exactly.
He didn't tell him that it was that. That song.
Right, so he's just in the dark.
Whiplash wasn't even on the agenda. It was some
so
other song.
I feel like that's some of the cutthroat
subliminals.
Things that have happened in, you know.
It's already almost an hour?
Oh, wow.
God, we really stuck with that. We really stuck with
that.
Yeah, Diane really.
Diane
really
took over.
Took over.
Oh, my God. Diane.
Oh, my God.
Just like Diane's
team. We'll leave Diane out of it next time. Holy smokes, man. Wow, Diane.
Diane went in.
She took 20 minutes out of the podcast. Wait, continue your thought, though. This is
interesting. Oh, well, that's what I was saying. It's kind of like the silent killer, like the silent competitive killer. It's not the Diane thing of like, hey, you look like a blowfish. It's like in action, you know.
She's doing it through her actions.
Yeah, trying to outrun you, trying to not have you on the team.
That's what they do.
Those are the ones that I had experienced. I mean, there weren't many of those. But, and then, you know, it doesn't feel good when people are kind of just like laughing.
Yeah. You know, and it's can you like, communicate? How do you communicate that to them? Because that would hurt me.
Yeah.
Can you communicate that somehow to them? Like, hey, you guys really made it hard on me back there.
Yeah, I feel like the older me now, if I was looking back at the younger me who didn't say anything at time, it would be to go up to them and be like, hey, guys, like what was going on there? And we're a team. Like, we're in.
But it's brilliant on their part. They could deny it.
Right. Right. Oh, we didn't do
that. They could deny it. They could be like, no, that was the normal tempo. Right. Like, what are you talking about?
Right.
Oh, that's clever. Yeah.
Yeah.
They could deny it.
See, that's why it's a silent.
It's a silent little poke.
It's a silent poke. Yeah.
Oh, man, that's really brilliant.
Which is worse. It's like that hot sauce that Leo had, that ghost.
They could pepper one gaslight that, it. No, there wasn't.
It wasn't ghost pepper? The one
No. They could deny it. Be like, there was no hot sauce. What are you talking about?
Right.
Hot sauce? Hey, Stanley, do you have hot sauce on you? Like, no. Well, why would we bring hot sauce
to
the
practice space? Which is the worst, because then you feel like you're crazy. It's on you. It's you're crazy. Yeah. Or you shouldn't be feeling that way.
But that goes to show you navigated through all that to get to where you are.
Well, you know, it pushed me to become better. Because I was like, I'm going to get better so that doesn't happen again. And I'm going to be able to keep up with that speed.
That speed. You know? So they did it smart. They didn't mess with your instrument. They did it like during the recording or the session.
During the session. Yeah, no one ever messed with the instrument. It was just like, you know, it's that.
I would be the guy that messes with the instruments.
See, I think that'd be less painful.
They'd be like, Steve around.
It shows you also have a sense of humor, too. You know,
there's something wrong with my clarinet.
There's gum on every key.
This flute feels a little greasy.
This smells like bacon fat. Yeah.
There's oil or something on my flute. Yeah. Now, I want to get to, like, wow, it just flew by. God damn you, Diane. Diane. So can we promote, like, what you have going on now? If you have, like, how do they best promote, like, where you're performing at or your Instagram, your websites, or just all that stuff?
Yeah, so.
Where they could buy certain things. Yeah.
So nice. My tour dates and my merch is on my website, which is gracekellymusic.com. If you do gracekelly.com, you'll get the princess, so make sure to remember the music. Mm-hmm. And then my Instagram is gkellymusic, and I'm always
K-E-L-L-Y.
Yeah, I'm putting out a bunch of videos there. Mm-hmm. I'm working on a new recording that'll come out in 2023, a new album, and always jetting around.
Where do you record your albums? Is there a practice space for that, studio space?
Yeah, there's studio space, and then like with this upcoming record, it's a large ensemble. There's like 15 people, so we did like multiple rehearsals leading up to being in the studio, and then multiple studio sessions.
And the original songs? Or the covers of their certain
This
things?
Upcoming one is mainly covers, actually.
Of what genre?
It's in the jazz genre, but it's like reimagined movie music. Some of my favorite movie.
Like, give me an example. Then.
Like E.T. Flying Theme. Dude.
Oh.
James Bond.
Is that da, 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 da,
yeah.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
It's the theme.
Yeah.
So they're thematic.
Yeah. And then like Soul Bossa Nova by Quincy Jones from Austin Powers.
Yeah.
But they're really fun, new, imaginative arrangements.
Who gets to choose what you guys cover? Is it a collective vote?
Oh, no. This was myself.
You get to choose.
Yeah, and the producers.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, would you go maybe, can you go like maybe do a horror album where it's Halloween?
That could be cool.
Poltergeist, Jaws.
I'm already seeing the outfits for that.
Yeah, I'm just saying that might be interesting. I know that you already kind of have
maybe the next
series,
a sequel.
You could do a horror series.
That would be
maybe Rosemary's
invite
Baby.
Diane.
Yeah, Carrie.
Yeah, no, there's so much great music. Like
great music.
And my past album was a lot of originals, so it's fun to kind of balance the different.
So you do both.
Yeah,
there's
I do
originals.
Both.
There's covers.
Yep, exactly. And it to me, it's all that's part of the creative process.
Now, how long does it take you to record a whole album like that?
Well, this one's a lot more complex. There's a lot more moving parts because we've got, like, you know, 15 string players. We've got full rhythm section, bass, drums, guitar, myself, saxophone, vocals. So it's going to be over a matter of months because we're doing different studio days, and then we have musicians overdub their own parts.
Oh, wow.
In their home studios or
different
locations.
Is there electronic music element to it, or is it all
for
just traditional
record,
instruments?
This record, it's
traditional.
But in the past, I've done electronic elements.
Right, right.
And usually
right.
those will happen as post-production. Mm. Although sometimes if I have an electronic type song, I'll start with it in the demo and then we'll build on that. So it happens so many different ways. You know?
Now, there's no copyright, like, infringement type deals?
For songs?
Yeah, for cover. I don't know how that works.
You do pay, like, a payment to
the
agencies like Harry Fox that represents represent the songs and they're publishing. That's a pretty easy process that actually anyone can do.
Really?
And then
do you have to go through ASCAP or BMI?
You would go to get the... If you were like pressing it on an album or vinyl, you would like Harry Fox is one of the big
and you would have to
websites.
You would have to put that on the liner notes.
Well, you just have to find the song in their database and then pay.
Oh, there's websites where you can.
Yeah.
Oh,
and then you pay. Okay. It's very.
Is it a
affordable.
Standard fee?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Now the potential challenge comes if the song you're recording is not listed on like a major.
Then how do you find those old, like, let's say there's a recording from Italy from 19...
You'd have to go to the publisher. You'd have to, or write to the label.
But what if it no longer exists?
Yeah, that's kind of a little trickier. Because I think you'd still have to try to trace it to...
So you would have to do diligence and find
Yeah,
them.
Or you know, maybe you put it out and then potentially could...
Knock on wood.
Yeah.
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 Oh, but no, it's interesting.
Yeah,
it's interesting, just the whole process.
Yeah,
because you are going to press this stuff up on vinyl or
exactly.
CDs or tapes or whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah. Are you guys going to make tapes?
Like cassette tapes?
Yeah.
I don't. We weren't planning on it. Do you?
Oh, yeah. The homie Korea Town Oddity, Strictly Cassette, his friend has a tape manufacturing business in L.A.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'm going to possibly go through them once I complete my album. They do short runs as well. And I mean, I could talk to them. You know, they're nice guys, right?
So you're gonna press yours on vinyl, CD,
No. I don't know. I'm still working on it. But I mean, ultimately, everyone wants vinyl, but it's pretty cost effective,
right?
To do that, especially in house. So if I could do a short run of cassette tapes, I think that's more feasible for someone like me.
It's a cool.
Yeah,
look,
it's
cool
a like
vibe.
Little niche.
Cassette something. I was driving my friend's car and he had a cassette player, and I got really into just like popping into record stores and then finding what was available on cassette, and it sounded so
there's
good.
A dustiness, a certain kind of quality to it. I like
warm
analog,
nice and warm.
So did we shout out your website?
Oh yes, so gracekellymusic.com, and then my Instagram is @gkellymusic. That's where I'm most active from socials, although I'm on all of the places, YouTube and TikTok.
And you said
Twitter.
Your Instagram and stuff?
Yes.
Okay, cool. And then you said all your tour dates. Any merch or anything?
My merch is actually just on my website. So people can, I think it actually is hooked up to my Instagram as well.
Oh, as far as the link tree?
Yeah.
Okay. And then what types of items do you have? Beanies and t-shirts?
Hats, t-shirts, phone cases. I should start selling cotton balls and
what about
and
a
hot
hat?
Sauce after this?
Yes, cotton balls. Dude,
it's
yeah.
just called Diane.
That, dude, that's
it's
a
the
good
Diane
one.
Collection.
That'd be, yeah, the Diane collection. You get Mountain Dew, a cotton
gum?
Ball, chewed gum.
That's got to be more expensive.
Chewed gum.
That's really
chewed by Steve.
Yeah,
and then a cotton ball.
And a cotton ball.
Yeah, it'll be the Diane sabotage kit.
Yeah. Oh my God, it's gonna go flying off the shelves.
It'll be flying off the racks.
Yeah.
Okay, that was fun.
That was fun.
I like your friend too. What's his name again?
Leo.
I know
you were really admiring all his. He's got a lot of.
Oh, he's a beautiful man.
Yeah.
I mean, dude, his hair, that mullet. Beautiful, man. Beautiful.
I didn't expect that the pants were just going to go flying off as fast as they did.
He's a work of art. They can make a statue out of him.
I'll mention him. Yeah.
I was really like,
yeah,
wow.
That happened pretty fast. I feel like the whole.
Stoic.
Admiration. Yeah.
Yeah. Beautiful, man. Leo, we love you here.
Leo,
keep doing your thing. We love you so much over here. Wow. And this is the tattoo, how it just everything blends.
Yeah, and it kind of continued
that beautiful,
on into
that beautiful
places.
Snake tattoo, yeah. Beautiful.
You know.
Leo, we love you. by this time, I guess the Scissor Bros episode of All of Us will be in there.
That was fun.
I kind of felt left out a little, even though I was on the keyboard. I wish I had a saxophone.
I wish you, yeah.
Or something.
I mean, next time you could you could finger
Jeremiah. I like how you said that was a bit disturbing how you said finger, because that was a hard R. Finger, Jeremiah.
It's like fingering is the word.
Yeah, saxophone.
And you do, so you could, that's honestly such a fun trick.
It is.
You know?
Can I go behind him?
Yeah.
Around his waist?
So that's the thing. And then if he just hides his hands, it's going to look like.
We'll do that during an episode.
Oh,
if he
lets
me. Yeah. And then I could tickle him.
Now, if he doesn't let you, I'd be very curious to see, unpack that.
Yeah.
Like, why would he not?
Yeah. The tickling saxophone challenge. Yeah. If once he giggles, we have to start from the beginning.
You know, I was really impressed with Jeremiah, though. He was also like doing the move.
He really admires you guys. He really loves. He was so stoked you guys came.
Really cool
it meant
moments.
A lot to him. It meant a lot to
we
him.
We had harmony going
on.
Oh, my
God.
We had moves.
He loved it. He loved every minute of it.
I did, too. That was really fun.
So, speaking of Scissor Bros podcast, definitely check out that episode.
Yes.
Leo and Grace. Go to, and those episodes drop every Friday at 6 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Go to youtube.com/scissorbros. If you want to help support this podcast, go to patreon.com/stevieweeby. If you want to send any packages or Diane items, cotton balls, Mountain Dew, or whatever, send all your stuff to 1425 North Cherokee Avenue, P.O. Box 1391, L.A., California, 90093. It was an honor having you.
Thank you.
That
for
was
having
awesome.
Me.
Diane, shame on you.